WPTV 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
And welcome back to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. It's a cold and rainy day here in Philadelphia, but we're livening up the conversation. As you listened in the last half hour show, part of the show, we were talking to State Senator Doug Mastriano, Pennsylvania State Representative Stephanie Borowitz, and our current guest that's still on the air with us, Tim Throckmorton from the Family Research Council, and we're going to continue that conversation of religion in politics. but one of the things we were talking about, Tim, and I'm going to read this first before we continue on, was the silence of some of the pastors and stuff like that. So I'm going to read this. This is from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, and it says, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unions, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Truer words were never spoken. And our silence is complicity. And, Tim, one of the things we were talking about in the earlier hour was the silence of a lot of pastors. Is it fear, or is it they've been bullied so much by the government with tax-exempt status? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're obviously probably more in touch with this than I am. What do you find when you're talking to folks?
Well, let me qualify myself a bit, Don, because I pastored for 22 years, two great churches here in the state of Ohio. And, you know, I began to speak out in 2004, and I've never been political, but I've always been biblical. And as I begin to speak out, write columns, op-eds, speak at events on biblical issues like marriage, the sanctity of human life, speak about our biblical heritage as a nation. There were a few that, you know, pushed back and said, "Hey, you shouldn't do that." Mostly pastors, not parishioners, and even the IRS, for that matter. I've broken the law, and as many pastors have on purpose, and mailed our sermons to the IRS over the years, where we would endorse a candidate or whatever they say we can't do, and mailed our sermons to the IRS, and nobody. We got a few thank you letters, but nobody got any flack. Only one church that I know of since 1954, and the Johnson Amendment became part of tax law. Only one church in America, I think, lost their status for part of a day. But other than that, it's nobody has. The threat is bogus. It is a paper tiger. It can't happen. The only fear, now you mentioned fear, there could be the fear of people getting upset. Many pastors avoid conflict. There could be the fear of losing members or losing donations. That's possible, and I'm assuming that's the reason some don't engage. A big piece of it, Don, in my experience, is that in training or education, theological education, it's understood or taught that you shouldn't do that. So there's that misunderstanding of history that I mentioned earlier, or of our American history and heritage.
And that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, there's another piece, and that is, truly, if you're trained that way, think of this. Even though you see what's happening in your community, in your state, in your nation, in the nation, you look at this, you say, "I need to say something. I just don't know what to say." And the problem is, you saying nothing. Often silence is seen as an endorsement, and everybody in every church is getting educated or learning or has an understanding of every cultural issue based on something. They're learning it from the nightly news or the major media, God help them, or they're learning it from social media. That's not a good place. Or they understand what the Bible says. The only reason, or the only way, those people in churches in America are going to understand the cultural issues, based on what the Bible says, is if their pastor speaks up. If they don't know what to say, often they say nothing for fear of saying the wrong thing or not being able to articulate on it, so they say nothing. And I think that's a piece as well. They're trained that way, plus if they want to say something, they don't know really what to say. And that's what we do at FRC. We bring the resources to the churches and pastors in America how to speak biblically to cultural issues.
Well, and one of the things that I found encouraging that you guys do at FRC is that you educate. In other words, you bring the historical aspect of it to it, which I think is, you know, I think it would make people feel more comfortable if they understood the historical founding of this country and how involved pastors were in the liberation of our country from British rule. So I think that's important. But then you guys go a step further and you also explain the law as is currently written, and you tell the pastors what they can and cannot do. But the nice thing, I think, is that you stress to people to talk about issues from a biblical point of view and not from a political point of view. And I think that's the part that is the important aspect of what you do.
If folks go to frc.org, you can go and click on issues in the top right corner, frc.org, and you'll see a host of topics, mainly life, family, and religious freedom. And you can click on those, and you'll get more information than you can handle on each of those topics and how to articulate biblically on those topics. Our Center for Biblical Worldview churns out data and material on a regular basis, and then daily, Don, our Washington Stand newspaper and Tony's show, Washington Watch, is speaking real time to issues in culture from a biblical perspective. So it's there that folks can access or will access it, and there's never been a more important moment in history for the church, for pastors, for leaders in churches to engage the culture.
Well, and one of the things that Representative Borowitz mentioned in the last half hour is obviously, and you touched on it as well, is the Defense of Marriage Act that was just recently put into the law, that how many pastors are going to be willing to speak about that? And this goes into the aspect we were just talking about where, you know, are they going to be afraid to talk about it because they don't want to lose members, they don't want to lose donations, you know? Why, and this is the conflict I have, why should God's teachings come to a conflict for a pastor just because they're afraid about money or they're afraid about acceptance by their congregation?
Yeah, it's a real thing. But, you know, to that point, particular point regarding the Defense of Marriage Act, what is really, really tragic here, everything about it's tragic, but what's truly tragic is pastors, that, you know, those in the Senate and the House have said over and over, pastors, you're protected. You're protected. Oh, you're the church, you're protected. And we always have been, as you alluded to earlier. We're free to do what God's called us to do, really, regardless of what whoever says. However, this law is going to hurt the people in the pew, Christian business owners, nonprofits, parachurch organizations, the religious freedom of those that are sitting in the pews is literally in the crosshairs now. And so that's where that's why pastors, it breaks my heart to think that, you know, if you're worrying about yourself, that's one thing, but you're called to be concerned about the people in your pew. This law is going to adversely affect Christians in the workforce, in the business world, Christian business owners. It is literally putting them at risk. Their religious freedom is at risk because of this legislation that is now law in America. And Lord, help the pastors that don't realize it and don't address it.
So Tim, just for the listeners, could you basically break down what the defense, what this, you know, basically what they signed in the law? Could you break down exactly, you know, what it's doing and and why we need to speak out about it.
Well, again, this is under the guise, and by the way, it was on the heels of the Dobbs ruling,
right,
that we know did the right thing, putting back into states the decisions that, you know, are made regarding life. Well, on the heels of that, the House acted quickly to pass this act, saying that it's going to protect religious freedom. However, what it does, in essence, is it codifies same-sex marriage.
Right.
It makes it law. No longer is it a decision of the Supreme Court. It is now law. And churches, they put protections in. And I'm always, someone likely said once, all of these protections in legislation are as only good as the first lawsuit. And then those are even perhaps changed along the way as they make their way through the courts of the land. But then you've got this, the threat to the people in the pews. And what I mean by that is that it's going to threaten those who are Christian business owners. Now it's no longer a local municipality who has passed an Equality Act or an equality piece of, now it's law of the land. And regarding same-sex marriage, how you want to respond to that, the baker in Colorado or the florist in Washington State, take that, multiply it times 50 states, and you've got these issues that are threatening the religious freedom of those who own businesses as Christians, of those that run adoption agencies, foster care agencies, and so forth and so on. So that's where these things kind of flesh out into, and that's just what we are aware of so far. It could nuance into other things down the road.
And the other thing that is a real, to me, is this kind of like, yes, states had certain laws, and that was a big enough hammer, but now they've changed the hammer into a sledgehammer, because now you have, now this is a federal crime. You know, it's a federal law. So now you have the threat of the federal government that's going to come after this baker in Colorado or this florist in Washington State, or, you know, somebody that says, hey, you know, I'm a pastor of a church, and I just won't recognize this marriage or whatever the case may be. I mean, you have this situation now where you have the power, and to me, this is where the left and the secular part of the nation comes in. They want to have the authority and the power of the government to basically persecute religion. I mean, maybe I'm boiling it down to a simple aspect here, but I look at this as they want to have the power of the government replacing the power of religion.
Yeah, and we know that government doesn't give liberty. God gives liberty. Our founders recognize that freedom comes from God, not from government. If government gives freedom, government can take freedom away.
So right.
Anytime the government says, hey, we're going to protect you here, well, it's not just to protect. God protects that. It's because freedom doesn't come from you. It simply comes from God. And the challenge here is that freedom now, religious freedom in America, is in a new place. And the threats are real.
Yes. So I have on the air one of my fellow radio hosts, Stan Casaccio. Stan, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, how you doing? Good. Do you miss me?
I always miss you, bud. So we have Tim Throckmorton on from the family.
Yes, I know. Tim, you struck a chord with me with this whole thing, defense of marriage. And one of the things we get trapped in these terminologies. I think the greater issue is, and if I were sitting in Congress, I would have said, gentlemen, the relationship between a man and a man and a woman and a woman is different than a man and a woman. There's only one aspect of a relationship that can produce a child, and that's a man and a woman. And therefore, in the English language, we have so many different terms that mean different things. Why do you want to usurp the term marriage, which was about that particular relationship between a man and a woman? Call it something else, and let's not get pigeonholed into that. So that's one of the big issues I have. We pretty much now have to say we're married to a man, or we're married to a woman, and I didn't sign on for that. That's not freedom. That's taking my freedom away from me.
And that's what the government does. The bigger the government, the less freedom. It's just a principle that it's that way all the time.
And we know, Don just said it very nicely, too, and you've said it, too, that one of the first steps in any kind of centralized government, which has been, listen, we've had kings and queens. We've had centralized governments before. They don't work. They never work. They suppress. Government only takes away freedom. It never gives freedom. And we can't get it through our heads as a human society that that's not the path to go on. And it is really a shame that this is happening in our country today. And that's because of a number of factors. Number one, we have judges who cannot see statistically and see the issues regarding elections. We're not having hearings about them. We want a truly transparent election where real voices are being voted, are being heard and being voted, and not stuff being rammed down our throats. So we have to keep on fighting. And I truly believe that pastors have to start taking a stand. If they believe in God and they believe in the freedom of human nature and human beings, they have to begin to take a stand. They can't be scared out of their wits. Then go into another practice is what I think.
Yeah.
Am I being a little too blunt here?
No. I said earlier, Stan, that COVID was revealing. It revealed those pastors and churches in America who understood the law, who understood the Constitution, and were bold enough and courageous enough to stand up and say, no, you can't tell us what to do here. I think this law, if not immediately, over time, will have the same effect. It'll reveal those who are courageous enough, because their folks are going to suffer from this. And when that starts happening, going to call them on to do something or say something or turn from it.
You know, one of the things, and Don, you may agree with me, that one of the things you might be able to turn this around and say, wait a minute, you're discriminating against us teaching religion, and we can use the law in our favor
exactly.
in some fashion.
Well, you know,
and you see it, and you'll see how quick they turn around and do it the other way. That's why once we start getting fair elections, you're going to see Democrats screaming like bloody murder about we can't win. You guys are rigging the elections. You know,
one of the nice things, Tim, and I think that this. Again, I try to look at the glass half full type situation. So one of the nice things when Doug was running for governor, I actually got to meet a lot of pastors who took a stand, and pastors that said, hey, I kept my church open. I had one pastor that actually, the state police actually came to his church while he was having services, and he came down off the altar, and he said to the state police, hey, the law says I'm allowed to have, and the state police backed down and they left. You know, so sometimes it's just a matter of taking a stand and standing up for what the Constitution guarantees you to do that can make a difference.
Yeah, you're right, Don. That happens in situations not like that, and I commend that pastor for doing that. But when pastors and churches show up at board meetings, when they actually speak to their representatives or show up at the state house for press conferences or to testify in hearings, it makes a difference if we just show up and if we just take that stand. And it's that simple. It doesn't take a lot of effort, really, in many ways. But if we just start showing up, taking a stand, speaking up, and I pray that Sunday pastors around America are going to address this issue. I pray that that happens. It's necessary. For freedom to survive. The only hope for America, I believe, of course, we know God is the hope, but it's found in the churches of America, and that's what can make the difference in the future.
I just wanted to add one more thing. I said I don't believe I've heard too many pastors or too many religious people. When two people love each other, I mean, this is
since human beings began to be on this planet, are they opposed to two people loving each other? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the terminology that we use. And, you know, the term marriage to me is really the relationship between a man and a woman. The other relationships are truly different. And this is not about preventing people who love each other from sharing into their lives and having all the same problems that, you know, that a man and a woman in a marriage have, including divorce. I wonder if they're going to be paying divorce lawyers. They'll probably make a law up that says that they don't have to have a divorce lawyer. In any event, these are the things I think that we have to spell out more. This is not about hating people or anything else like that. They kind of lump us into that group, and that's not what we're about. Many of us have gay friends that have long-term relationships. We have no problem with that at all. It's just that I really resent having to be, that my rights have been taken away, that I now have to explain that when I'm married, I have to say I'm married to a woman, you know, that, well, and that bothers me.
Well, Stan, one of the things, you know, that I want to touch on here is, so I've had conversations with a group of, that represents gays, Log Cabin Republicans. And what they said to me was basically is, we don't want to argue over a word. If marriage is going to be between a man and a woman, so be it. That their concern only was that they wanted to have the same rights, you know, as married couples. And of course, I said, well, in the United States, everybody has the same rights, no matter gay, straight, Christian, Jew, Hindu, whatever the case may be, black or white.
Everybody. Well, you know what this is about, Don. This is about tearing us apart and dividing us so we can't focus on the real thing, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is being taken away from us every day.
Yep.
And I know Tim would agree with that with me. And by the way, I have to go back to work now. So, Tim, it's always good to hearing from you. Keep fighting, my man. All right.
Stan,
and Don,
you.
I'll be talking to you. Talk to you later, Don.
All right, Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas. So, Tim, you know, again, the thing that I think that is important is that, you know, more and more people start standing up and they start talking and they basically, you know, like, you know, you don't have to go out and pound somebody over the head, but you have to show up. And you have to give the perception of that you care. And I think we touched on this earlier. Silence signals compliance.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%. And I'm sorry, I've got to go.
Yes.
Too, Don.
Yep.
I apologize.
No problem.
But, yeah.
We can continue this in future weeks.
This is incredibly important. There is a generation that will look back on this moment. Generations will look back. And we need to be vocal. But that phrase caught me. I heard it this week. Speak truth to error. So you got to know what the truth is first.
Right.
Before you can speak it. And if you know that, if you know who we are, if you know what we are as a nation, then you can do that. You can speak clearly and truthfully. But you got to speak. You've got to speak. And when we do speak truth to error, it raises a level of awareness in our churches, our families, our communities, our states, and our nation. And with God's help, a difference can be made. So God bless you, my friend. Thanks for the opportunity of being with you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, you know, if you guys want to call in and jump in on this conversation, you're welcome to. It's the number is 888-329-3306, and you're listening to The Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM.
Hi, this is Don from The Conservative Voice. Are you looking for new business cards? Need new menus for your restaurant? Signs old and outdated? Employees need new shirts? Cars, trucks, and vans need new signage? Look no further than Mann Custom Wear. Located at 2250 State Road in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, Mann Custom Wear can fill all those needs and much more. At Mann Custom Wear, the owner, Mark, takes great pride in providing his customers with a superior product that is sure to catch the eye of potential customers and wow your existing clients. So if you're looking for a change, if you're looking to increase business and visibility, reach out to Mark at Mann Custom Wear. He can be reached at 215-651-8932 by email at markcolt45@hotmail.com or on the web at www.mancustomware.com. Man Customwear, your one-stop shop for all your design and printing needs.
This is Joanne from The Conservative Voice.
And this is Don from The Conservative Voice. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to everybody.
And welcome back to The Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Don Beischel, Jr. So obviously we had a great conversation with Tim Throckmorton from the Family Research Council, Senator Doug Mastriano, and of course, Stephanie Borowitz. And we were talking about, basically the persecution of religion and the lack thereof of the ability to speak about your faith when you're a candidate and from political office. And one of the things I say to people is that this started way back when they started pulling prayer out of the schools, and I always said that it says the government should not restrict religion. So one of the things that I've always advocated for is that we should have instead of no religion in school, we should be opening up the teachings of all religions in school, because I think you have a better understanding of people where you understand where they come from. You know, one of the things I did as a youngster, and when I was having what I call my crisis of faith, I mean, I was raised Catholic, and I had the whole thing with the nuns slapping my hand with the ruler and the priest grabbing me by the ear and all that jazz like that. But so one of the things I did when I became disillusioned with my faith, the Catholic religion, was I started visiting different churches. I went to a Jewish synagogue for services there. I went to Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. So I tried to expose myself to some different aspects of religion, and I came to the realization that if you break away the trappings of man from the religion, you get back to the teachings of God, and God basically, says love one another, and one of the things that I brought this up when I was talking to Senator Mastriano earlier was one of the things that I found that religion taught me as a child and as an adult was to have empathy for my fellow man. And I think that's when you start taking religion away, I want you to strip away that the man-made constraints on religion. Like one of the things in the Catholic Church is if you don't go to church, it's a mortal sin. So therefore, if you die before you go to confession, you're done. I don't think God works that way. And that's just me. That's how I feel. I don't think God is going to hate me because I didn't go to church one day. Okay. I think God loves us all for who we are. And as long as we accept him as our Savior and our Lord, and I pray every day, and whether it's a 5-minute prayer or a 2-minute prayer or a 10-minute prayer, whatever the case may be, I try to pray every day, and I think I'm pretty dang good at it, okay? Now, whether or not the big guy actually pays attention to me because he's got a billion something people in the world to worry about, I can't answer that question, but that's where the faith part of it comes in. So I think that as a country, if we're going to survive as the United States of America, which is the melting pot of the world, we have to get back to what Tim Throckmorton was saying earlier in the show, is we have to get back to how we were historically founded. And we were historically founded as a nation based on the freedom of religion. If you remember, and I want to stress this, okay, and we have a caller on the line, I'm going to bring her on shortly. I want to stress this to everyone, that the United States of America was founded by people who were escaping religious persecution by a state-run religion, which in this case was the Church of England, okay? And we all know what that was about. King Henry, or I think it was King Henry, I could be wrong, but I just want to say King Henry, was upset that the church would not grant, you know, let him divorce his first wife so he could marry a second wife, da-da-da, and the whole beheading thing. You know, so he just said, hey, I'm going to make the Church of England, okay? Well, you know, and all of a sudden, when you have that, then, of course, persecution happens. Our friend Aaron Bashir, who's been on the show many times, is a Pakistani Christian. And he until he came on here, I did not realize that Christians were being persecuted, murdered, maimed, Christian girls are raped and taken in. You know, this is happening this right now in this moment in Pakistan, that if you are a Christian, you can't hold any political office. You have no rights. They can kill you and nothing can happen. Okay. And these things are happening. Okay. So the United States was founded as a sanctuary for that, that no matter what your faith was, whether you were a Christian or you were a Puritan or you're a Muslim or you're a Hindu or what, or Confucianism is a religion, whatever it is, you were allowed to come here and freely exercise your right of religion. And what has evolved over the years is that the government has tried to become the religion, you know. In other words, they don't put a name, a religious name on it. They just want to say that the government can control you and they are the religion. You are basically to pray to the government. So that's my little rant. So I'm going to bring on a frequent caller to the show. I love having her when she calls in. Pauline, you're on the air.
Hi, Don. Thank you. I'm not sure if this fits in exactly with what you're talking about, but I want to talk about what happened last night at the North Penn School Board meeting.
Interesting.
I was not prepared for this because I didn't know this was going to be happening. There is a man whose name is Eric Torres. He entertains people as Antichrist. Okay? Purposely said that way for Antichrist, okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
And he's in Lansdale, and he's a drag queen, and he does drag queen reading to the children at the library, and now he was hired by the school district. And honestly, I still don't know exactly what he teaches or where in the district he is assigned. But last month, there were a few of us who spoke up against having him there. We were not derogatory or nasty or screaming or anything like that. This month, last night, apparently a call went out on this guy's Facebook page, which I only went to today to see, calling out for people to show up to defend him. And they did. And the thing is, he's supposed to represent love because he loves the children. And he volunteers for different things in Lansdale. And he gives to charities. And he's so wonderful and loving. And these people who were, and he was there as well, the people who were supporting him whenever one of us got up in the rotation for speaking at the public comment section, they were booing us. They were swearing at us, you know, using filthy language, screaming at us. And Tina Stoll, the president of the school board, would tap her little gavel and say, "Now, please be quiet." She never said, "If you don't stop, you'll be removed," because none of them were, and none of them stopped. When I got up, I did take a turn to get up and speak, and what I said was, what he's doing is what cult leaders do. They take the people that are, you know, feel isolated, feel, you know, not included and bullied, and they say, "Oh, we're a family, come join us." The difference is, what he and people like him do is plant that seed, okay?
Right.
They're not just finding children who feel that way. They're making them think they should feel that way, just as they make them think they should be the other gender or a cat or a dog or something else. And so what I said was, this is what cult leaders do. They make a safe space. Oh, and they feel safe. and they're safe until they're not safe anymore. The first thing I said, actually, before I even started was, I can't believe how lost. We've already lost. We've lost the whole thing now. The whole school board is Democrat. The superintendent is Democrat. And Tina Stoll was catering to these people. She was not laying down the law, you know, you can't do this, you can't. She was not threatening them with removal. I got up out of my seat, and because one guy actually said to me, F you, using the whole word. And I went up to security and I said, why aren't you doing anything about this? You know, well, Tina's not calling for them to do anything. There was another woman, you could only speak at a school board meeting if you live in the school district. And there was a woman who got up and she admitted she did not live, she lived in Abington. And they said, no, you cannot speak. She kept on going. She wasted more than 3 minutes. We were allowed 3 minutes. Just standing up there and refusing to sit down and kept on speaking. She was not removed from the podium. And then a second person did the same thing. Other people were let to go to talk past the 3 minutes, you know, that were on his side, okay?
Right.
When we were leaving, then most of the people started leaving after the comment because nobody wants to sit through the whole agenda. You know, it's the last meeting of the year. So there were only, I guess, six people, maybe seven of us who were not for this guy. And probably almost half the auditorium was filled with for him, or at least a third. So when we're leaving, because a lot of people just decided to leave then because they had their say and they were leaving. So, and they were not having a second audience of citizens. They usually do have a second time at the end of the meeting for people to get up and comment, but they weren't having that. So I got up to leave as well. And this guy that I, Giuseppe, was with me. He's a friend of mine. And we were walking out together. And this woman actually came up behind me and she like body slammed me. And I turned around and she said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bump into you. And I said, the hell you didn't. And then I said to security, I said, I want someone to escort me to my car. And they said, no. And he said, call the cops. So I did. My car was parked in the handicap, which is isolated. It's a separate little parking lot.
Right.
And so I did call the I called 911. And I was talking to the dispatch person. And when the security guy realized that I actually did call the cops, he said, oh, you're in the handicap section. Oh, you can come out this other way. They'll take you right to your car. And, you know, totally different after he realized I actually called the cops. So I said to the dispatch, I said, oh, they decided they're going to help me now. I said, but thank you. And he had taken my name already. So he said, I will let them know. Because he was dispatching an officer to come to the middle school, Pendale Middle School. And, you know, I'm just amazed. Now, here they are saying how wonderful these transgender people are and their followers are so loving. And there they were screaming at us. And this woman body slammed me, you know, and swearing and not obeying rules. They were outlandish. And here we are just thinking to ourselves, or I was thinking to myself, you know, is this how far the school board's going to go having this guy come in? Now, I was trying to also make a point to these people as we were walking out. I said, well, the guy that Biden hired, Brinton is his last name, he's a transgender, transvestite, zoophile. He openly admits he has sex with animals, okay? And he was just fired because twice he stole luggage off the luggage carousel. So he's a thief. Now, you're going to tell me that we are supposed to believe that these people who are so perverse are good people? And, you know, I'm just, when I came home, I was talking to Olivia, and she said, yeah, in a little while, he'll be caught having some kid in his house or in his room or wherever doing something.
Well, this goes to when, so, and actually Tim was bringing this up when we were speaking earlier. When you get the federal government signing this Respect for Marriage Act, okay, forget, you know, the hoopla or whatever they want to do about it. What it really does, it empowers these people to start acting out, and you know, and they want to stretch it, you know. So for example, now you know if you it, and again, I'm not saying it will, but just say for example, by you getting up there or anybody getting up there and speaking out against this guy, okay. Well, what if they expand the Respect for Marriage Act to say, well, you can't speak out against transgender people because that's considered hate speech or something like that, you know? And I don't think what you were saying was hate speech at any means of the conversation, but what I'm trying to say is that when you start giving specific groups special protections. Protections that are already in the Constitution, by the way. I want to make sure people realize that, you know, that, you know, that therefore you empower then this vocal minority that they can, you know, they can boo you when you're trying to speak your mind. They can body slam you if that's what they want to do. They can threaten you. And what the real problem there is that if this was reversed, and you said, hey, say you were for what this person stand for, and it was a group full of people that were booing you because you were for him, that I guarantee you they would have given you the security that you needed. And see, so there's where the discrepancy is. Security and personal safety should not be cognizant or relied on by what you're talking about or what you believe in. Personal security should be personal security. They should fight to protect you just as well as they should fight to protect the transgender person if they were getting attacked or booed. And this is where the hypocrisy of the left comes in. So, you know, like you said, you know, their supporters are all loving and caring. Well, you know what? I mean, I just pulled up a little bit of the video and I'm hearing the boos, you know, I can't watch it while I'm talking to you on the air. But I'm sitting there, I'm going, boy, I can feel the love.
Exactly. I don't know what's going to happen next month. I will be going back. I have been attending the school board meetings for a year now. It was last year exactly that I went to the first one. I was invited to do so by one of the parents at the school, and you know, ever since, you know, I'm as vocal there as I am at the commissioner's meetings, and you know, Tina Stoll is much more hostile, whereas Valerie, you know, the chair of the commissioners, she never says a word, but Tina Stoll will come back at you even though they hold the same policy that they're not going to speak.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that I hate to say it this way, but the school board should be, you know, basically silent on this stuff. In other words, as a resident, as somebody that wants to express their opinion, you should be able to express your opinion without a commentary of disagreement or agreement from the school board. They should take what you have to say, and they should say, okay, we're going to take this under advisement. Because by them basically berating you, it inflames the crowd, okay? And which of course is what they're counting on, because then they figure if they inflame the crowd, then of course then you'll become silent. And see, this is what they play on. They want to basically frighten you and others into silence, because they want you to be afraid to speak up. Now, they don't know you, and they know you're not, they should know by now that you're not going to do that, you know, but
I'm not easily intimidated. I usually do the intimidating.
Exactly. And the thing that is that, you know, for them to talk to, for a school board to not even, and see, this is what we go back to. The school board makes these unilateral decisions based on their own beliefs, instead of listening to what the parents have to say, okay? And this goes back to curriculum and drag queen reading hours in the library and sexually explicit books and things of that nature. You know, parents should have the right to say, I want my kid exposed to this, or I don't want my kid exposed to this. Okay. And that should not be made. That should not be left up to some faceless board. Okay. To make that decision.
I agree. And it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. And this is why, you know, when Stan had Lara Logan on Wednesday, I actually called in and I asked her, and she said, well, you're just going to have to do what you think you can do and, you know, do the best you can. And so that's what I did. And that's what these other couple of parents did. I wasn't aware that Moms for Liberty, which is who they were criticizing, was Moms for Liberty, trying to intimidate them. I am a part of that group as well. But until I went to Facebook this morning and went to the Moms for Liberty page, that's when I saw that they were saying, don't go because they're trying to bait us. But I was unaware, totally unaware. And I walked in and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on tonight?
Well, to me, I hate to say it, but I think that is, I'm a big supporter of Moms for Liberty, but I think that's bad advice. Because one of the things that Tim Throckmorton was talking about earlier is that your silence is basically acceptance. In other words, right. you have to speak out, okay? And I think if it would have been you and 50 other people going up one and running and blah, 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 and speaking out, you know, then maybe somewhere along the line more people will become emboldened and brave, okay? And again, I'm not talking about any kind of physical altercation or anything like that, but there has to be debate. There has to be conversation. When you don't have debate and conversation, then you only hear one side of the story. And we see that right now. You know, how did we – let's just use Doug's election. The mainstream media, there was only ever one side of the argument, okay? And they never gave an opposing point of view. And I'm talking about editorials and stuff like that. There was never, you know, their excuse was, well, Doug wouldn't talk to us. Well, first of all, why would he talk to you? Because you're only going to spit it the way you want to spit it anyway. But your job as a media reporting outlet is not to have an opinion. And I'm talking about news outlets. I'm not talking about talk shows or anything like that. I'm talking about news outlets. Your job is to present the facts as there, okay? In other words, let's just talk about the abortion issue. Doug believes that life begins at conception. You can report that as a fact, but then you also should be obligated to report the fact that Josh Shapiro believes in abortion up to and including birth, okay? You should present both sides of the argument so people can see where they stand, but they don't do that, okay? And that's just what's happening here. You have a school board, okay, that lets you want to come up and make public comment, but then they want to only accept the public comment that agrees with their position.
That's right.
And they want to use that to silence you. So we have another call on the line. You want to hang on, Pauline, hang on. I'm going to bring in Aaron Bashir. Aaron's calling in. Aaron, welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Don, for having me. It's always an honor to be here.
Yes, I'm glad you called in. So, Aaron, one of the things we were talking about is religion and politics and how they've tried to remove religion from politics. And, of course, Pauline was at a school board meeting last night, and they basically berated her when she was talking about, you know, not having a drag queen there to talk, to read library books or whatever the case may be. And we were talking to Tim Throckmorton earlier about pastors and their lack of willingness to speak out. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, the things that you guys faced in Pakistan as Pakistani Christians and the persecution that you went through. And you came here for religious freedom. And I want to jump on that because we only have about 5 minutes left. You came here to this country for religious freedom, and now I think you're seeing that your religious freedom is being kind of squashed by the government. I mean, do you see that? I mean, you've lived it, so how do you see it happening here now, how the government is trying to impose its will on religion?
That's absolutely right. You know, slowly, gradually, they are trying to take away what's ours. The founding fathers were strong people of faith. No one can deny the fact. However, these so-called progressive people, the radical left, they keep twisting the facts, the history. They keep taking us away from our heritage, from our Judeo-Christian values, from the freedom that our founding fathers believed in, and especially the God that they believed in. These radical leftists, they don't want no God in this country. They wanted to create this chaos where there are no values, no God, but just the abominations which are already out there.
Well, let me ask you this, Aaron, and then I'll let you continue. So I made a point to Tim Throckmorton earlier, and that the left, or the secular left, the progressives, they want to replace God with the government. That's how I look at it. I mean,
right. That's what they're trying to do. They are trying to define their own marriage. So they have come up with their own definition of marriage, with their own definition of the values that they believe in. So this is what they are pushing on us. And as just the school board that I just joined the discussion that, you know, they wanted to impose their belief system, their values that they believe are a good fit for our society. However, America is not about that. America is about choosing. You are free to choose what you believe is best for you. This is the bottom line of our Constitution, and that right comes from our Lord God because he gave us that free will to choose. So right now, when the government is defining, you know, what the marriage should be, what should be taught in schools, you know, when the life starts, who has the right to take the life from the womb, at what stage, it's basically an other God that they are creating in the form of the outreach of the government.
Absolutely,
and
correct.
That needs to be stopped.
That is,
and we, the people, need to wake up and take the power back by electing the right people. And I do want to just say in a minute, like, this country needs God back. Without God, there is no hope. The solution to all of our problems of this chaos, skyrocketing crimes, sufferings in our country, school shootings, open border, illegal drugs, our economy in recession. Because when you leave God as a nation and then you believe that you are smarter than God, you can run the show on your own, that's what happens to you, and that's what's happening to our country.
Well, let's look at this because it's interesting that I've noticed through some research that I've done that a lot of these problems stemmed from the moment that they took prayer out of the schools, and so right away you start by the left's plan, and I say it's a plan of indoctrination of our children. And so where did this indoctrination start? Okay, it started when, okay, we'll take prayer out of the school. Okay, so now you're raising a generation of children that are not exposed to prayer in school. Okay, and so then the next step, of course, is to impose other social norms in schools. And you notice that every time they try to start this stuff, they try to start it first in the schools, whether it's getting rid of prayer, pronouns, CRT. It's all about the indoctrination of our children so that when they grow up, they have the mindset that the progressive leftist minority part of this country want them to have.
That's absolutely right. This is where the bottom line is, that we as a nation have been deceived. We have been, like, you know, manipulated by these powerful far radical left that controls the media, that controls the narrative, and that controls the government right now.
Yes.
And before it is too late, we the people need to wake up and stand for the values. And there is nothing wrong in saying that there is a God who says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know, thou shalt honor your father and mother. That needs to be taught in schools. And I'm all in for that. I ran on that platform in the congressional campaign this year. And I will continue to do that. I'm not giving up my struggle because this is the war between good and evil. It is the evil taking over, these demonic spirits, those abominations taking our country, our society, attacking our values, attacking our faith, our gender, our family, our faith. This is the time that we stand up to it.
Yep.
Because if we don't, we won't have this country anymore.
That's exactly right. We're almost up against it. I think we got about 30 seconds left or so. Yeah. So I just want to say this one last thing. If you don't agree, please do not be afraid to speak out, because when you're silent, that means you're accepting it. And again, I want people to understand this. This is very important. You have to get up. You have to speak out. You have to say what you need to say, because if you don't, nobody else is going to say it for you. Okay. And again, if you don't speak out, then you have nobody to blame but yourself. You know, and that's the bottom line. And I'll leave with this. And I started this off in the first hour. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Thank you guys for listening to The Conservative Voice, and we will talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend. Red, white, and blue.